Good Saturday morning to everybody, and welcome to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show, along with Director of Family Services of the CCA, Chris Radlitz. I am Gary Byron. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing my best to hang in there. You know, it's nicer weather. You know, this time of year, it usually puts a smile on everybody's face when you see sunshine and you feel the warmth and so on and so forth. Obviously, the first thing that people are going to discover this morning is that you are on the phone and not live in studio with me.
That is correct. I am suffering through a major bout of vacation down in Marco Island, Florida.
Oh, that's something. No one likes any suffering, but if you're going to suffer, that's the kind of suffering you want to be in. Marco Island suffering through a vacation. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I didn't.
Thank you for rescuing me from all of the sun and activity.
Yeah. I guess my invite got lost in the mail. We could have, you know, taken the show on the road, you and I, you know.
Well, you know, you're more than welcome to come down and join me.
Now that you're already down there, and better late than never. How was your week?
My week was great.
Yeah, I almost didn't even ask you.
My week was absolutely awesome,
yeah,
Gary.
Well, I know.
Might have got a little too much sun, though, but other than that, it's fine.
Oh, do I sense a tan challenge? We're going to see who, when you come back, who's darker?
Oh, dude, you don't have a chance.
I don't have a chance.
You don't have a chance.
I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I can just sit out on my back deck with a book for an hour, and I get bronze.
Okay. Well, maybe you do.
All right. I'm just putting that out there.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay.
It's not a challenge.
What's that?
You'll
accept the challenge?
I've got some sun.
Okay. You certainly stronger sun down there than we have here. Happy Memorial Day weekend, by the way.
Thank you very much. Very excited about it.
I know you were in the service.
I was.
I know. That's why I said Happy Memorial Day week. Although it's really, I guess those are two, that's two words you really don't want to put together, is Happy and Memorial Day weekend, because what differentiates Memorial Day weekend from Veterans Day is that we are commemorating those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, and although there's nothing happy in that, we appreciate it. Whereas Veterans Day, I believe it's those who either are in the military or were in the military and who are still
right,
with
it's
us.
Those who have served versus those who gave their life.
Correct, correct. I just wanted to put that out there. I normally don't say Happy Memorial Day weekend because for the reason
I mean, you know, for us, it is in a way, because one of the nice things is that so many people come out to the cemeteries and they visit the loved ones that have, you know, gave their lives in service of their country. And, you know, they place flags on the graves.
Well, it's a popular practice.
It is. It's a popular practice, and it's something that we encourage. As a matter of fact, if you go to any one of our cemeteries, if you don't have a flag, just walk in the office, and we'll give you one.
Nice. I like to hear that.
So you can put it out on your loved one's grave.
I mean, sometimes you see these aerial shots on the news or documentaries, and you know, taken from a helicopter or maybe nowadays probably a drone. And it's of cemeteries, and it's just, some of them are granted they're veteran cemeteries, a lot of them, but not necessarily all of them. But it's just, you get an awe when you see this aerial shot of a cemetery in which there's just one little planted American flag after another, after another, after another. It can kind of give you a chill, you know, where it's like, wow, man, what a country that we live in. And these are the people who made, you know, a conscious decision to join our military and fight for our freedoms. So when you say that you welcome flags for the Catholic cemeteries that we have here in the state of Connecticut, that's music to my ears.
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, for us, doing anything we can in support of our service members that have not only served but sacrificed for our country means an awful lot to us, and this is one small way of being able to appreciate, show our appreciation, providing flags and, you know, letting them stay there and not having them taken down. For normally we don't leave decorations up for very long.
Yeah, this is
flags
different.
Stay forever. We never touch them.
Yeah, I think the American flag is different, you know, than a candle or, you know, a some other thing, trinkets that people leave there, particularly with those, like as I mentioned, who made the ultimate sacrifice. And right. Anyhow, it's really good to hear that. I'm glad that you went over that. I'm sure a lot of our listeners, it's a popular practice, as I said a moment ago, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have somebody in their family who was in the military, either during active duty or whatnot, and are getting ready to place a flag on their grave. So,
yeah, and I think people need to know also that we have masses, Memorial Day masses at the cemeteries.
Oh, I didn't even know
that. So on Memorial Day at 10 o'clock at right across the street, Mount St. Benedict's, All Saints Cemetery down in North Haven, mm-hmm. Mount St. Peter's in Derby, we will be having 10 o'clock mass coming in, you know, priests coming in and doing full mass in honor of those that gave their lives.
That's very nice. I had no idea. This is probably our second or third even Memorial Day weekend together doing this show. And I did not know that. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
So it's a wonderful tradition.
It is. It is. And I hope it continues with our Catholic cemeteries here in the state of Connecticut. Last Thursday, though, Catholics celebrated the Ascension. It's a day of holy obligation. But just to be more specific, Chris, when does the Ascension occur?
So the Ascension of Christ into heaven occurs 40 days after his resurrection. That period of time, from the time that he was resurrected to the and he would visit with the apostles a number of times, be seen a number of times,
right,
to the point where he ultimately goes back to heaven, is 40 days.
I'm curious, is it literally an ascension into heaven?
Well, that's a really good question, because it's kind of, it is and it isn't, okay? Because the ascension is really a twofold, I guess there's a twofold way to look at it. It's a mystery of faith, which basically means that Christ, when he resurrected, was considered ascended into heaven. Okay? But that's from a theological standpoint. From the physical, he came back to spend time with the apostles and basically to give them their final marching orders, you know, mm-hmm. before they went off to spread the word of the gospel. And that occurred 40 days after the resurrection. So it's kind of a two-in-one thing.
So let's start with the history as recorded in Scripture.
Well, if we do that, if you remember in church when you said the Nicene Creed, we profess the belief that Jesus' ascension, it was that he ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. Okay? And that mystery of faith, just like his resurrection, which is closely associated with it, it's mentioned in the book of Mark. It's mentioned in Luke. And the more detailed version is actually in the Acts of the Apostles. So the ascension of Jesus can be defined as like the transfer of his risen, glorious body to heaven, mm-hmm. meaning this is from the earth to the world of the divine. Okay, in the Old Testament, God is described in some texts as descending from heaven to accomplish something. Okay, and then he ascends, returns to the world of the divine. So Jesus himself speaks of descending to this earth and then ascending again to the Father once his work of redemption has been accomplished, which is clearly listed in Ephesians. So, except for the mention of 40 days, there's the belief that the ascension truly occurs on the day of resurrection, yet the idea that the final glorification and exaltation of Jesus takes place at his resurrection, and as well as 40 days later. So they're kind of two aspects of the same thing. Okay. Through his resurrection / ascension, he leaves the earth and the created universe to take his place at the right hand of the Father. And that whole idea of sitting at the right hand of the Father, you know, that comes from the old world of kings and courts, where the all-powerful king was sitting with his ministers, and usually the most powerful and most favored one sat just to the right of the king. Hence, it means that in this case, Jesus is one with the Father and shares that sovereign power. So, realistically, when you think of the fact that there was a resurrection that occurred, it kind of makes sense that he would enter immediately into his final glory, which is what we would call the ascension. Yet, we do have that 40-day time frame where he was appearing to the apostles and teaching them still. So because of that teaching, we look at it as kind of a pedagogical type of instance where the ascension is still a teaching moment for Jesus to his apostles until the 40th day where he finally ascends. And 40 in itself, you know, as far as scripture goes, doesn't necessarily mean 40 calendar days, but we do interpret it as such, okay? Mm-hmm. So, as I said, the mystery has two aspects. The heavenly glorification of Christ, which coincides with his resurrection, and then his final departure from the apostle after a period of apparitions. So this Feast of the Ascension that we just had on Thursday commemorates the second aspect of this.
You mentioned a couple of times now that he was seen by his disciples on more than one occasion, a few times. But what about his right. adversaries? What about those who put him to death? Did they see him days
after?
Well,
I think that when Christ came back to visit with his apostles, he allowed people to see him that he wanted to see him. You know, it's not like it was a great trick for him to be able to put a veil over the people that were around that he didn't want to see him. And I think part of this is, if you think about it, part of it is the building of faith within the apostles also. Because not only do they get to experience the risen Christ in their presence, but they also realize that he's not out bantering around the world. He's there talking to them, okay, to his boys. And he, that's a great, great buildup of faith and belief. Mm-hmm. And all the things that Jesus talked about while he walked the earth, that eventually he would rise, or eventually that he would be killed, okay, but on the third day would come back. So these are all the things that I think Christ kept others from being able to see him, but focused on those that he wanted to see him in order to accomplish the mission. I mean, really, remember, his death on the cross was all about the removal of sin in the world. And it was kind of the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, which is what all of the Old Testament is about. The Old Covenant really was God making a deal with Israel. So it's God making a deal with this group of people, a specific group of people, the Israelites. I'm going to be your God, you will be my people, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Jesus on his ascension, actually from his resurrection and ascension, he now is the new covenant, where it's no longer God and forgiveness is available just to the Israelites. It's to the whole world.
That's
not a group of people, but all people.
That's the New Testament.
That's what the New Testament is all about, and that's what the new covenant with us is. Christ is the essence of the new covenant by telling us that forgiveness is now available to all, whereas before it was towards a singular group of people.
I'm surprised he just didn't go to Pilate and say, "See, I'm back. What did I tell you?" I don't
know. Yeah, you know, I kind of. Yeah. See, but that goes to the personality that you and I both have. We want to rub it in their noses. You know, and say, "Hey, look, see? Uh-huh.
Look, I don't mean to be like that, but I mean, goodness gracious. I would have been like, those who crucify. Hey, you, remember me? Remember you nailed me? And I'm not trying to be funny here, but I'd be like, I told you. I mean, what more else do I have to do to prove to you I am the Son of God? And I think that would have taken care of it. That would, I think, you're seeing it with your own eyes.
So then why did he make it so hard?
Yeah. Well, good question.
Tell me, because that is an eternal question that burns in my mind.
See? I'm glad I'm not the only
one. I'm a pretty faithful guy, I believe.
You are.
Okay? Right? Yeah. But doesn't mean I don't question stuff. And I sit there and go, well, okay. Like you said, take the example of showing up to Pilate and, you know, hi, I'm back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, why didn't he do something like that? What's the reason that he causes all this consternation when he could have completely absolved us of all of this by just showing up at Pilate's, you know, going over to Herod and say, hey, remember you tried to kill me.
That's right.
Okay, I'm back. You succeeded for a short period of time.
And that, going forward, how the course of history in the wars that have been fought in the name of religion and the lives that have been lost, I think that would have cleared up so much going forward. It's indisputable. Well, he's back. He's right here. He may have crucified him, but he's right here, you know. End of story.
So, well, it's interesting that we look at it that way. Now, look at it like this. Here he was performing undisputed miracles. Undisputed miracles. Right. Raising people from the dead.
Right, yeah.
And they still put him and nailed him to a cross. So what makes you think that when he shows up, and now I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth, obviously.
Well,
what makes you think that when he shows up and says, hey, I'm back, to the same people that nailed him to a cross,
because
they believe him, and it's, you know.
They thought he was a prophet that had magical powers. That's
right.
Right. So, but there's no magical power that can bring anybody from the dead. I think this is a whole different level.
Well, they just think he would be a more powerful magician. They probably try and kill him again.
Yeah. Oh, that's
see, this is the thing that is, it's interesting. Mm. We all have these questions. And we all, you know, want to be the ones to question God's judgment. And the more that we talk about it, the more it becomes clear to me that, you know, it doesn't matter, because humanity is so fallen that we will not believe in certain supernatural things, no matter what is presented to us, because it's just not within our human realm of thinking and acceptance.
Yeah,
you know, there are some that can and accept, and there are some that believe and accept what the real supernatural world is, but most people, they're not. So, I mean, even in his hometown, he was ridiculed, you know? Hey, this is his carpenter's son. What are you talking about? You know, you're no son of God. You're the son of Joseph. Give me a break, you know?
Well, same thing. He was kicked out of the temple that he was reading in Nazareth, right? I mean.
So, you know, what makes you think that if he showed up and went to Pilate, that they would have believed him anyway, or that anything would have changed?
I know.
And it's always an interesting intellectual exercise to go through and say, what if, what if, what if? But then you go back through history and you read about how things transpired. And, you know, look, we know, we've been told, okay, this is a sin. So if you do this, it's a sin. It's a mortal sin. And if you don't confess your sin, you die. You're going to go to hell for eternity. And guess what? People go still and do the mortal sin. Why? We already know. You know it's bad. It's been told.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching's been that way for 2,000 years. They still go do it. It just goes back to what I said earlier about our fallen human nature.
Yeah, that's
so, you know, being able to have faith and believe and build that faith, you know, that's part of, I think, what God did in setting it up the way he did. Because it gives us the opportunity to really grow our faith when we don't have the proof of anything in front of us.
Folks, you are listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show along with Chris Radlitz. I am Gary Byron. Chris, why is the Ascension so meaningful?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons that it plays an important role in church history. I mean, first, it signaled the end of Christ's ministry, his earthly ministry, okay? God the Father sent his son, his only son, to the world at Bethlehem. Now the son returns to the Father. So that period of human limitation he experienced was at an end. Next, it kind of signified his success of his earthly work, because all that he came to do, he accomplished. You know, the last words on the cross, it is finished, okay? So that had many, many meanings. Not only is his earthly life finished, but his mission on earth was finished. But he accomplished all that he came to accomplish. It also marked the return of his heavenly glory. So Jesus' glory had been veiled during the time that he was on earth. There was only one brief exception, and that was during the transfiguration. when he was with a handful of apostles and he met with Elijah and with Moses, and when they turned and they looked, they saw his body lit and glowing and with radiant light. Well, that was the only time in his ministry on earth where he allowed his glorious self to be truly visualized. It also symbolized his exaltation by the Father. Okay, so being one with the Father, and with the Father who was well pleased, he was received up into the place of honor and given the name above all names, right? Seated at his right hand. Mm-hmm. And it also gave him now the opportunity to prepare a place for us, because that's what he said he was going to do. I am going forward to prepare a place for you. It also indicated the beginning of his new work as high priest and mediator of the new covenant. So we had just mentioned that Christ really is the embodiment of the new covenant. And I think lastly, it kind of set the pattern for his return. So when Jesus comes to set up his final kingdom, he'll return just as he left, literally, bodily, and visibly in the clouds. So for all of those reasons, his ascension is very meaningful to us as Catholics.
I guess it's just so hard to imagine or maybe put our limited capacity of this place called heaven. So I guess that's where Jesus is right now, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. What is heaven, right? Is heaven, you know, third star past Mars? Or I mean, is there some physical location somewhere? And there's the gates of heaven, and St. Peter's guarding them, and you come up to the gate, and he opens, you walk in, and that's how it is, right? I have no idea.
I don't know. That's what the cartoons say, right?
Yeah, that's what all the cartoons say, and heaven knows they might be correct.
Yeah.
But I think that heaven is more of a state of being. And I think the simplest definition is a place where you are physically in the presence of God, but you are also in the presence of a place with no evil. Just as the definition of hell really is, it is the lack of any presence of good or anything godly. On the other hand, heaven is the place where you are in the presence of the supreme example of all that is good. We look at it as Catholics. You know, traditionally, we say it's a physical place and that's where everybody goes. But the reality is it's not necessarily a physical place, but it's something much greater, and it requires us to really understand that Jesus himself is more what we would consider even to be heaven. Heaven's not a place, but even all that is embodied in him, a person in whom God and man are forever and inseparably one.
No,
we go to heaven.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It's just that
so
we have
go
that.
To heaven,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we just have many images in our minds since childhood. As I just mentioned a moment ago, you have cartoons, you know, and at the pearly gates. And I can understand how you're explaining the meaning of heaven, where it's not necessarily up in the space, past Mars, past the moon, past, you know, where it's not a physical. There could be heaven on earth. There could be heaven right here.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, and when you read the Bible, there are places where it even says where Christ, there are many homes in my Father's, but there are many rooms in my Father's castle, right? So, I mean, it kind of, that gives you the imagery of this massive place, you know, that you're going to end up going to and you know, living. And maybe that's exactly what it is, but I think more so than a physical being place, I think it's more of a spiritual being place. That's kind of the way I look at it.
I don't know. Like I said, we've discussed this before on the show, but I think it's important to talk about the end of salvation. And the only thing is I've only got about 2 or 3 minutes, not even 3 minutes, maybe two and a half minutes. The end of salvation. Is saying that.
Well, I mean, that's what the end of salvation for us is when we die. I mean,
we're in the presence of God.
That's right. Either you make it or you don't.
Or you don't, right.
And that pretty much tells it. But the important aspect is that Christ came as the one who could provide that eternal salvation. Because prior to that, it was very limited. And now it's open to everybody. So he came, and his mission was a mission, a salvific mission. Because by his death, his cross, and resurrection, he opened up, he overcame death, and he opened up the world to complete ability to achieve salvation.
Well stated. Well stated.
Yeah, you know, somebody might have talked about this with me once or twice before. I don't know.
No, but seriously, it is something that, and I pose some questions here where, why? And it's good to have these discussions because, quite frankly, I've had them in my mind for quite a long time. You know, why?
Well, and these are important. These are important things to be talking about. You know, they say everywhere you go that in business and, you know, oh, you don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. Well, you know what? Yeah, you need to, because it's really important. I mean, these are things that are important that need to be discussed and people need to understand. Because, you know, but then again, everybody gets uptight about their views, and that's where you end up getting battles and wars and other stuff. So.
Well, that's why they say, at least not at work, you shouldn't talk about that. But within your family at the dinner table or out socially, what's wrong with that conversation? I don't see a problem with it.
It takes a leader in the family to bring it up and have the conversation. And I think that's what we're lacking.
Oh,
I think too many people are too wrapped up in their daily lives, and they don't think about the spiritual side of existence, and they don't share it with their families. And the more that they don't share it with their families, the less their children will ever be able to pass it on.
Well stated. Oh, yeah. I completely agree with that. Again, it's indicative of this secular nation or secular period of time in our history that we're living in.
Sure.
All right, so listen, we got to wrap things up
here. Tragedies and things that occur, right?
Oh, well, yeah, just this past week alone. Folks, if you'd like some information on the Catholic Cemeteries Association, very easily head online to www.ccacem.org. Again, that's ccacem.org. By the way, folks, if you'd like to ask a question, we could be answered right here on this very show, on these very airwaves. It's very easy to do. Simply email us at ccawdrc@gmail.com. We'll get your question answered. If you want us to use your name, we can do that. If you prefer us not to use your name, that's also fine. And you can contact the Catholic Cemeteries Association very easily via their toll-free number, 800-505-0080. Once again, toll-free 800-505-0080. For Chris Radlitz, Director of Family Services for the Catholic Cemeteries Association, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to the Catholic Cemeteries Association radio show. Until next Saturday, have a good one, everybody. So long.